You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour number one of the Sports Hangover is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. Been injured in an accident, ring the King. Coming up in hour number two, Chris Blair, voice of your LSU Fighting Tigers. Big weekend series on the diamond against Texas, Alabama on Saturday on the hardwood. We'll talk about that and the win back midweek over Texas A&M. That's coming up this hour. Phone calls, rest of the way. Got a bunch of different little topics we're getting into. Still going to go around the NFL. We'll do that this hour here as well. Reached out to Robert Meacham. He may stop by here in a little bit. He got a new gig, joined the intern, being the receivers coach at De La Salle High School. And also ask him about his time at the Combine. His measurements were today. It's all about hand size, height, weight, all of that, the works. So the two other bits of football news, Jason Witten, 1 year, $3.5 million deal, leaving the ESPN Monday night booth to go back to the Dallas Cowboys. Trey is thankful, apparently. I didn't understand. It's not that I didn't understand. The whole feel of Monday Night Football was just different. Booger and his, you know, sideline machine that he's on, feel was just odd and different. I don't know what you're trying to go after with Monday Night Football, who you like. I mean, we threw this out last year. Who would you like to be the sideline, the color commentator, you know, with it or not? So, Trey, first off, welcome. You just got back in town a little bit ago?
I did. Nice. Just got back late last night. Technically a visit. I am moving back. I told you I'm moving back.
Okay.
Technically I am just here for Mardi Gras. Then I'm back at the end of the month working a PGA tournament. No, I'm house hunting right now.
Okay. Gotcha.
Then I'm working a PGA tournament in Gulfport at the end of the month. So I'll be here during that. House hunting again.
House hunting.
But
yes.
Then eventually one of those times I'm really going to have to be house hunting.
Right. I got you. But, look, we got a bunch of different things you can chime in on here as well. Again, anytime you come to Vinny's, we have a spare headset. If you'd like to come by, have a little lunch and talk a little sports with us, we'll include you. We'll have a little fun with this. The other bit of news, Robert Kraft pleaded guilty to the two charges. So he's not saying he wasn't there.
Just the two?
That's what it is. So it is. Not guilty to the two. I thought you showed me that said guilty.
You're fake news, Kattengill.
No, I showed you that exact tweet.
Well, I misread it. He pleaded not guilty. That might be a difference. Not
You're
guilty.
Spreading fake news and blaming your intern for it.
Yeah, well.
That's what you did.
Wow, look at this. What
That's why we have Brian here, a true professional.
I was about to say, what a star-studded show all of a sudden. Trey, who hadn't seen in years, and now Brian and Ola East decide. How long have you been gone? Like about a month you've been gone, most of February, since we've seen Brian here as well. Let's welcome in into the conversation. What's going on, bud?
Nothing much.
How long
man.
Have you been gone, honestly?
Honestly, almost the entire month of February.
That's what I thought. Yeah. It's been about the entire month of February out there seeing the country, trucking it big.
Yes, indeed.
Are you ready to get in with Trey? Are we going to have a little fun with this?
Let's do it.
We'll talk about a handful of topics. We'll do a little 10-minute just kind of chit-chat here. And then we've got a lot to get into over the next hour and a half on the Combine. Do our eyeballs just sometimes deceive us? Can you play or not? What do you think of Kyler Murray? We'll touch on that. Plus, a lot of the different topics in the NFL. Got a lot of sound bites from GMs and coaches on a lot of different topics as well. But we're kind of touching on right now with Zion. And the question that we threw out there a little bit ago, based off of the discussion, let's say Zion's the best player in college basketball.
Okay.
Would you say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you say that, Trey?
I would say that.
Okay. First pick overall in the NBA draft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's next?
Has to be his teammate. I think R.J. Barrett. Man, that's a good question.
Maybe it depends on need. It could be Ja Morant. It could be R.J. Barrett.
I think Morant is another one that could be in contention for that second spot.
Okay. Now, my wonderful intern over here threw away Ja Morant and said no competition. He plays in gyms. That's basically the St. Paul's gymnasium in high school. you know, so he's discredited what he can also do.
So did Dame Lillard.
So you're the guy that picked Austin Rivers over Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Okay. That's him. Okay, exactly. My thing is this. Josh 6'3", and I love the fact that I see the highlights of him dunking every. This is what I mean by this. And we had a caller say, hey, let's not be impressed by dunks from Zion. What I see, though, guys, is aggressiveness. I see someone that if my shot's not falling, I know another way to get two, maybe an and one to get three. When I go back and look at the Davis era and some of the failings at this franchise and the rosters they had, it's horrible shots they settle for deep, trying to shoot threes when we didn't have three-point shooters, guys that couldn't make jumpers and all that. I would rather inherently grab players that have a desire and have shown the ability to get to the basket. And then we can work on everything else. Does that make sense? I want to start in. It's almost like football. Give me a good line, and all of a sudden I can run. All of a sudden I can throw. You get what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
I want to start from in because that's what I've seen in the past. That was my biggest complaint with AD. One aggressive. I don't need him shooting threes. I don't need him. Get in the block, man. Get in the paint. So with those two guys especially, I love seeing the ability to go out there and do it, especially if you're 6'3". You've been doing it against taller guys for a lot longer than just this year. So you have an ability to navigate, the trees in the NBA. What do you think?
Yeah, no question. I mean, looking at John Morant, man, or Zion Williamson, Ben Simmons right now is in the NBA. He can't shoot a lick. I mean, he can't shoot. No. I'm not saying like
joke, you know, about him not shoot.
I'm not saying he can't shoot three-pointers. No, he can't shoot. So if Ben Simmons can make it in the NBA and he can't shoot, then why not Zion Williamson, who does have some semblance of a jumper? He is aggressive and he can attack the paint. He can get you points off the boards, off of putbacks.
Steals.
And most importantly, he wants to play defense, which is important because the best way to get the ball, to score is to take it from the other guy. Zion Williamson can do that, and I have no problem with that. So can John Morant. The 6'3 thing doesn't bother me at all, especially because you can see his aggression. There are many point guards in the NBA right now that are 6'3 and below. I don't think Steph Curry is 6'7 playing point guard, last time I checked. Damian Lillard, not 6'7 playing point
Utah?
Guard. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you got Spider Mitchell over there in Utah. So these guys are out there balling, and they're not 6'7, 6'8. They're going to be just fine. And if all you need is one thing to do in the NBA, if you can do that well, you'll find a spot. Some people can shoot. Some people play D. Some people, Rondo, great, he's 6'5", but he can't shoot either, and he still makes it happen. So there's a place for you in the NBA if you do one thing great instead of doing a whole bunch of things okay.
Real stat on Ben Simmons. He's 0 for 15 from 3 for his career, not this year. He has never made a 3 in his career, but we all agree
incredible.
He's a star.
Right, no question.
And we don't think Zion's going to be 0 for 15 2 years into his NBA career. Well, 3 years if we're really talking about Ben Simmons. But you know what I'm saying? That rookie year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That red shirt.
That red shirt year.
Yeah.
I guess, like, when you look at it, too, and the other thing is where are you building from here? We had Scott on earlier in the show, Brian, and, look, I was like, what do you do with Julius Randle? The guy puts up points, but all I read from everyone else is the guy kills you on defense. He doesn't do a lot of the other things.
So it means we get him for cheap.
Well, again, that's, if he wants more than $9 million, I guess that's why Scott said, let's see what the market can sort of do. But is Drew Holiday, based off of what you've seen in the last month and a half now, really, right, since the announcement, is he a guy that you look at and say, moving forward, we need you to be a centerpiece on this team?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think teams in New Orleans are better off led by somebody named Drew. Just my opinion.
Uh-huh.
But I think he's a two-way player who absolutely gets it done. In my opinion, he's top three at his position. I mean, you can't name two guards that play both ways that are better than Drew Holiday. And Drew Holiday, again, not 6'7 out there playing. He's about 6'3, 6'4. He gets it done on both ends of the floor. And most importantly, he seems like he has a loyalty and a desire to not only be a part of the franchise, but embrace the city as well. You saw the picture probably out on Twitter of him and Cam Jordan together. I think it's very telling that Drew Holiday was the one that presented Cam with that jersey. So, I love Drew Holiday moving forward.
I think he's the guy, for sure. Because, like Brian said, there's not really a two-guard that you can compare to him. Maybe Klay Thompson. But even then, where's the ball handling with Klay? Klay has the defense, he has the shooting, but he doesn't have the ball handling that Drew has. And if you ask any NBA player, I remember hearing when Kevin Durant was on CJ McCollum's podcast, like, every NBA player knows how good Drew Holiday is. The fact that the league doesn't advertise him as much, and he's not making an all-star game, even though there was three or four guys in there that had lesser stats than him, That's not Drew's fault. But he can play, and that's somebody that can play. Because the Drew crew, if you will, has been way more fun to watch than even before the announcement, when we were just fighting for the playoff spot. When we had that, you know, the puckering in between your cheeks about whether or not AD was leaving. It wasn't fun.
Drew and the Legacy is what I like to call it. I like that Drew crew is kind of taking off here as well. I don't know. Maybe it's not a form of PTSD or something of that nature, because I don't want to ever make fun of something like that. But what I mean by that is I just – when I look at this franchise looking and moving forward, I probably am using what I've seen the last 6 years as to what I need to do better, right? So I want guys that want to be here, that want to show me leadership. Drew's done that. I want guys that want to be aggressive and go to the basket. How can I get butts in the seat? How can I bring excitement to a situation that has demoralized my fan base a bit, right? It's gotten me feeling rotten about NBA hoops. It's got me feeling, and guys like a Ja or guys like, for sure, Zion will can do that. So that's what I'm saying. Like when I talk about moving forward and I bring up these guys and these names, it's for a reason. I want aggressiveness. I want to see, what do we see right now with Brooklyn, with some of these young teams here as well? Sacramento, there's a lot of excitement. These are guys that are attacking the rim. They're playing above the rim. They're playing aggressive. And they're doing that, you know, so I think that's why I keep bringing those guys up.
Yeah, and also let's keep in mind that the only way Drew Holiday is moved is if he goes to management and says he wants out, because I don't think there's, you're already trading AD. I don't know if you're going to get fair market value for AD. You're going to get some pieces back, no question about that. Drew is a different story. What do you get back for Drew? Is it draft picks? Is it, you know, other players? So basically, are you going to try to scrap the whole thing and rebuild all in 1 year? The only question that I have with Drew Holiday is what happens if the Pelicans make the trade with Boston and you get back both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? What happens to Drew Holiday, who's adamant about saying he does not want to play point guard? Then what happens?
That's the problem with RJ Barrett, right?
That's the problem with RJ Barrett.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's the issue.
Yeah, and I actually did not know. I've been out of the city for a year and a half. I didn't know that Drew was adamant about not playing point guard. Again, I haven't been here. If that's the case, then that totally scraps my idea of going up to number 3. We have to go to number 2. We have to get Ja Morant. But the young guys on this team right now respond really well to Drew. Kendrick Williams is playing really well with Drew.
Agree.
And if you look, Frank Jackson was working out with Drew over the summer. He had all the videos on Instagram, and then you see it coming out on the court. And if he can do that with these undrafted second round pick, we can get a dude like Ja in here. I think he and Drew could work really well. And a big problem I had with the AD era, we never had a vet. We had the young vets, the Dell Demp specials, but we didn't have a vet. So, part of the plan in my dream team package, when we get to that, I could even cancel that out because I would be getting rid of a vet, and I'm totally cool with keeping him, but I also want Ja to get minutes.
Yeah.
What do you do with Elfrid Payton? Let him walk?
He's a backup point guard. That's what he's supposed
Bingo.
To be.
Okay.
So we just have a real point guard now, and Elf plays his actual job.
Frank Jackson.
I think Frank is a rotational guy. I don't think he's a guy that should start. I don't think he should get many minutes off the bench. He's a contributor, but he's not a guy that you can count on and say, okay, he's the centerpiece of the team moving forward. Let's keep him. Definitely need him for depth.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Be interesting to see over the next couple of games here as we go to break, you know, on the EuroLeague shooter that this team got. I mean, again, it's a 2-year deal, team option for next season. So they've secured his rights.
Yeah,
and they're going to pay him for the rest of this year to see what he can do or not. But
supposedly, should be something to it.
Supposedly, this guy knocks down three. And again, this goes to the Zion thing. I don't need you shooting threes. I've seen enough of that with the AD era. Okay, get in there, go break some rims, get some butts off the seats and clapping, and let me sell your bobblehead merchandise. That's what I want.
Oh, he has a brother that plays in the NBA that's pretty good too. That's lighting it up. Euro guy has a brother that's playing in the NBA.
One of the things that we will touch on, too, at the bottom of the hour, you guys brought it up during the break, Trey and Jordan did. Zion and Alvin Kamara, imagine a YouTube show or something that these two guys can do together, like just personality-wise. I mean, you want to talk about two personalities that could really move forward.
That's not only a subscription. I want notifications when the episode drops. I want to watch it right then.
Those two guys, you think could get along or not? Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers. He's up next. Talk a little diamond, a little hardwood action as well. So Sports Hangover, live from Vinny's 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie on ESPN New Orleans.
Has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Car shopping? Shop now online or in person at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, our new express store, makes shopping online easier than ever. And we now offer home delivery. Get the all-new 2019 Tundra TSS off-road for just $32,990. That's just $32,990 for a new off-road Tundra four-door. All Louisiana residents are welcome to participate in Greg LeBlanc Toyota's low, low prices on new Toyotas. Shop online. Shop now at GregLeBlancToyota.com and save today. Tundra model 8239 includes $3,500 rebate plus DTNL.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Jason Witten going back to the Cowboys. $3.5 million, 1 year deal, leaving the Monday Night Football booth. Lots of people with opinions on social media as to who should be the color for Monday Night Football. I'm still surprised why Peyton Manning hadn't. I know he's doing stuff for what, ESPN Plus, kind of breaking down games and things like that. You wonder if they throw a little more jack his way. I don't know if it's about money. I think it's about time and the time that you need to prep and get ready. Such as our next guest, Mr. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers at LSU Tigers Voice. Boy, we can get a lot done here, hopefully, in the next 10 minutes. Chris, what's going on, man?
Not much. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. All right, let's get to it. We'll start with basketball and end with baseball. A nice big series coming up in Austin between LSU and Texas. But first, we'll start with hoops. The game against Texas A&M took care of business, right? You didn't have the feel, or obviously against Tennessee, and it was almost like you had to trudge through it in getting it. I mean, it was still a good performance. Don't get me wrong. But it's games like that that I thought was important. I wanted to see how they came out after a big win like that, and getting a win at home. You'll take it.
Absolutely. I mean, and to be honest with you, I thought the first half, on Tuesday night was about as good a half as we've seen in a while, you know, to start a mm-hmm. game. There have been several games this year where, you know, Tigers get behind by three or four, sometimes five, and, you know, then battle back, make it either a slight lead at halftime or even a slight deficit.
Right.
But, I was excited to see them come out and be the aggressor, impose their will early on, built up a 21-point lead at one point there in the first half. And again, kind of a similar story, second half, Texas A&M decided to go zone, slow the game down a little bit, and then it became kind of a, as you said, just you know, a little slower game, a little grudge match down the pace. But you know, again, you get a double-digit win at home, and you know, sometimes we forget about that. We talk about some of the games where LSU has had to, you know, battle strong in late and second half games. But you know, if you really look back at their SEC schedule again here at home, there's been a lot of those that because they had big leads either in the first half or early in the second half, and they only win by 10 or 12, then you feel like, oh, it wasn't, you know, they should have blown them out by 30. But, you know, that's hard to do in conference play. So, you know, I think it was a solid win, and I like the way they responded. Again, second straight game without Tremont Waters, which, again, all word is he's expected to be back Saturday, which will be a nice addition. But the fact that you've been able to win two games in conference, you know, with guys stepping up and carrying the load, you got to like that.
There you go. That was going to be my next question. The latest on Tremont, are we going to get to see him? I mean, we saw him on the bench and everything being at the game, so kind of had a sense and feel that he could be ready to go for Saturday. So we should be able to see him against Alabama. And in the meantime, though, man, I don't know. I don't know if the word surprising, I guess, is what we see in Javonte Smart. Because, look, we saw talent we know he can do. But you know, we just finished talking about Drew Holiday and what we've seen in the last month from on the field, off the field, leadership, the aggressiveness, kind of wanting it to be on his shoulders. Is that maybe perhaps the best way to kind of describe the play of Javonte the last two games of wanting the big shots, being aggressive, going out there and winning games?
You know, Coach Wade said that, you know, obviously his talent, you know, you don't become Mr. Basketball in Louisiana Gatorade Player of the Year if you're not talented. So, I mean, you knew that coming in. The only issue for, I think, Javonte this year in the freshman year was, you know, being consistent. You know, you don't have to score 25 every game, but he's a double-figure scorer, and you expect 12, 14, 16, 18, you know, somewhere in that range most every night. Now, he's had some off nights. Again, most of those early on, not only in non-conference but in SEC play, but coaches said, hey, when the lights are on and it's time to step on the stage, I mean, he's the guy that wants that shot. He wants the ball in his hand. And obviously having to fill in the starting role both Saturday and again earlier this week against A&M, you know, he got that opportunity, and he made the most of it. I mean, he's had really two good back-to-back performances when the Tigers needed everybody to uptick their game just a slight bit. He's been able to do it. And, again, you know, kind of what we talked about, you know, if Tremont's ready to go, and, again, the word is today he will practice in game preparation for the Alabama meeting. So that's the big indicator that he'll be playing on Saturday. The fact that now Javonte's got tons of confidence, even more so than he had, you know, just adds another score. And if they go back to Tremont as the starter and Javonte comes off the bench, he's going to be one of the best six men in the league.
Chris, this is Brian. First of all, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate your time today. And I wanted to ask you about Cavell Bigby Williams, because I think his senior leadership is going to be integral going into the final stretch of these games, the SEC tournament, and possibly into the, you know, a good seeding into the NCAAs. Can you kind of talk a little bit about what he can bring to the table moving forward?
I mean, he's key. I mean, Will Wade has made no bones about it. You take Cavell Bigby Williams out of the stat line, I mean, you probably have at minimum, at best, probably five or six more losses this season, because his 10 points, 10 rebounds, 12 points, 13 rebounds, you know, those have mattered. Not to mention the tap-ins he had, obviously, at Kentucky, and again, the putback in overtime against Tennessee to tie the game there. So, yeah, I mean, he is just integral. And, you know, he's got eight double-doubles on the season. Six of those are in SEC play. He does exactly what he can do, you know, and that's what I like about Cavell. He's not out there, you know, you don't see him stepping out, knocking down threes or even attempting threes. I mean, he stays down in the lane. He's a great shot blocker, one of the tops in the SEC. And not only blocking shots, he had three the other night against Texas A&M. But after you get the first or second block, I mean, it completely changes what a team can do. I mean, mentally, they don't want to drive it in there if he's down underneath the basket because they – just they're apt to know what's going to happen. So, I mean, he's integral. And, you know, he's the only Englishman ever to play in a Final Four. And so you mentioned the experience. Not only is he a senior, but he had a chance to play in the Final Four in his first stint at Oregon. So not only the Final Four, but just the NCAA tournament. Nothing's going to shock him. And the hope is that if, you know, they're able to get in and go deep, you know, he can help some of these younger guys that are playing on that stage for the first time in how to prepare, how to, you know, block out all the noise when you get to these regional sites. His value is really, it's hard to calculate for this team.
Speaking of hard to calculate, now we got Alabama, Florida, Vanderbilt coming up. How do you see these games playing out? Because now the Tigers do have that confidence. They're no longer the guys that kind of, you know, are going to be looked at as the underdog. Now they're kind of, you know, now they're the hunters. And I'm sorry, not they're the hunted. So how do you see these playing out, especially with the possible chance to kind of avenge that loss against Florida?
Well, you know, I asked Coach Wade last night on his show, how do you, with three games remaining, the conference race up in the air, it's Tennessee, Kentucky, and LSU. Now, LSU owns the tiebreaker, regardless of what the SEC Network said on TV last night. They were wrong. So how do you keep the guys from, you know, getting too up for a game? You know, this is the biggest game of the year coming up Saturday morning against Alabama. And when that game is over, should they get a victory, the biggest game of the year is going to be on the road in Gainesville against Florida next week. And then if they win that one, the biggest game of the year is going to be the season finale against Vanderbilt at home.
Right.
And Coach Will Wade said, I mean, it's just the process we do. You know, we just don't talk about what's down the road. He said, obviously, these guys are smart. They're on social media. They know what's at stake. We don't have to bring it up. All we need to do is make sure we work the process, stay with our plan, win the day and win the game, win each possession, and we'll be okay. So they're monumental games. Alabama, you know, you got to be concerned about because the Tigers just historically have not played very well in Tuscaloosa. The series over there is overwhelmingly lopsided in favor of the Crimson Tide, and they play very good inside Coleman. In fact, they've won 9 straight against ranked opponents coming in on their home floor. So LSU got their last win over there in 2016. So there's plenty of challenges for the Tigers when they roll in Saturday morning.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to close up our hoops talk just by saying what are the biggest challenges that the Tide present?
Well, in the first meeting, LSU got that win. It was one of those I talked about earlier. LSU got up big in the first half. Alabama then was able to kind of dictate the tempo they wanted in the second half. They cut it to within 4 with just a minute 19 to go in that ball game that many fans remember. LSU was able to extend it. That was kind of the first game after or in conference play where we saw them be able to finish the 6-minute game and pull away and keep them at arm's length to get the victory. But they did not, LSU that is, win the rebounding battle. And they also didn't get as many free throws as they wanted. And they allowed Alabama, again, to get shots at the rim because they got a big front line. This is a team in the Crimson Tide that's 8th in the conference, shooting 34% from three-point land. LSU held them to 29%. But when they get hot, and they seem to get hot inside Coleman, Riley Norris, one of their sharpshooters, is now coming off an injury from a year ago. He's kind of back to where he was when he was at his peak at Alabama. And the last two meetings that he played, they absolutely hammered LSU over there in Tuscaloosa. So, I mean, that's what you got to worry. You got to keep them off the three-point line. And even though they played way back on January 8th, the Tigers certainly improved on the glass. But they're going to have to be Saturday against a pretty good front line for the Crimson Tide.
Switch on over to the Diamond. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. 17-4 LSU over Southern last night. How nice was it, I guess, to see Eric Walker just get out there on the Diamond again, man, and just have some success? I don't win a lot of innings, but just to see him out there and have some success, man.
Well, again, we saw him over the weekend, and his first inning of work in relief, he looked like the old Eric Walker. And then the second inning, things got away from him. You know, he hit a batter, he walked some batters, gave up some runs, and that's just not what you're expecting. So it was great to see him last night come out there and have the command. That's where he's key. You know, this is a team full of, you know, arms that can, you know, run it up there 93, 95, even 96 miles an hour, and that's not Walker's game. I mean, he's going to give you 86 to 88 pretty consistently, but his pinpoint placement is what makes him so difficult, and we saw that last night, and that's a great sign. Now, you know, news came out yesterday or after the game that Jaden Hill, who's been phenomenal, the freshman right-hander, who's off to a good start with his first two starts, not going to be able to go this Sunday. Little soreness, nothing major, maybe more precautionary than anything else because he's adjusting to this type of game. But Eric Walker now is going to be the starter for Sunday against the Longhorns. So that, to me, is going to be the game to watch just to see how Eric approaches it because, obviously, he got to approach yesterday as a starting mentality, which is different than coming out of the bullpen. And he'll have to do it again, this time on a big stage against the top 25 team in the Longhorns that already have 10 games under their belt, 7-3 on the season.
Chris, they're already going to be missing one of their starters, and here comes another one with the news of Gavin Douglas possibly missing 8 weeks. Has that been confirmed just yet, or is it kind of still up in the air on how much time he's going to miss?
No, I think that's still kind of a guesstimate, you know, again, based on what those injuries typically are. So Again, it came out late last night. Again, early this morning, but they'll probably take a look at it. But it, you know, it is a big loss because Gavin's one of those young players on this team that, you know, been battling for time, platooning for time at first base. But he's been sensational at the plate. I mean, he's got plenty of power. He's got extra base hits in his arsenal, and he's going to be missed. There's no doubt whether he's playing DH or whether he's getting the start at first base. But I still think we're going to have to wait and see if it's truly 8 weeks. But again, the depth for this team is a lot better than it was a year ago, but that still doesn't make Paul Maneri happy that he's going to have one of his key guys sidelined here for the next little bit.
All right, Chris, we'll wrap up by previewing this weekend, 19th-ranked Texas. Coach Pierce over there really starting to turn things around. Last year you kind of started seeing that as well. What do you expect to see this weekend? What do Tiger fans need to know about it?
Well, you want Zach Hess to get off to a good start Friday and kind of set the tone. Again, as I said, they're 7-3 on the season, coming off a tough loss at home last night, 10-7 to Texas Arlington. So, I mean, but they're good. I mean, we saw them last year. They lost some of the key ingredients to last year's ball club, but some of the returners are back, and, of course, they can recruit like anybody in the country, and they've got a good hotbed right around their backyard to recruit for college baseball. So it's going to be a tough one. But, you know, I said all this week, this is a very important early season non-conference series, regardless of the outcome, whether you win one, whether you win two, clinch the series, whether you get swept or whether you sweep, doesn't impact what this team's going to do. It has nothing to do with the ceiling on the 2019 squad, but it is the first real measuring stick for where they are and where their deficiencies need to be improved. So, you know, there's a lot of things to look at. You want your starting pitchers, obviously, with Zach Hess to get off to a good start. Landon Marceau is going to be on a stage in game two. He's never been on before. It's going to be huge for him. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Eric Walker kind of getting back to where he was as the Sunday starter back in 2017. Bullpen's got to perform. You can't have any breakdowns there. And again, offensively, you got to feel pretty good about where LSU is at this point. They've been able to put up double-digit runs, double-digit hits now five times out of the first eight games. So it's going to be a great series, but, again, nothing decided for 2019 going to happen when they're done in Austin after the weekend.
Chris Blair at LSU Tigers Voice, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network, the voice of the LSU Tigers. Always appreciate it, man, when you join us once a week here on the Sports Hangover. Enjoy the next couple of games, man. Busy weekend, but enjoy it, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it as always.
Yep, for sure. Chris. Tell you what, it is going to be a fun series to kind of see and check out. But look, injuries are going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I remember Paul Maneri a couple Thursdays ago before the season started. I asked him, what is your concern? And he said, you know, it's funny you say that. My wife asked me that last night on the couch. And I said, the backup catcher. So that's how deep they were. He was worried about the depth of the starters, not any of the starting positions or pitching or any of that nature. So let's see if LSU can handle it. But again, that's what's going to happen. You're going to get injured while you play. How you handle it.
Wait a minute.
What?
When did you talk to him?
A couple Thursdays ago.
And all of a sudden here.
No,
man. What are you doing?
No, not a couple. No, stop it. No, don't you get involved. Hey, Uber Eric is here. Uber Eric in the house. I saw you tweeted at us.
Don't change the subject, Cat and Gil.
I didn't change anything. Quickly. Hi, Uber Eric. What's going on? We'll talk to him later on as well. It's the Sports Hangover. We're live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Ah, the bull elk's bugle, one of nature's most wondrous sounds. That is not a bull elk, that's Kim. Her RV sewage tank is spewing all over her camper. Way, way out in the middle of elk country. Yep, there's an elk. And that's Kim. It's wild out there. When it gets too wild, Progressive has your RV covered. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Sports fans, tune into the Sports Corner every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon for our interactive live sports talk show. From prep sports to college and the pros, we'll have media members and coaches as guests as we bring you up to date on the latest news in the world of sports. Call in as we invite your comments and questions. It's the Sports Corner every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon on ESPN New Orleans.
Kick off the weekend with ESPN New Orleans Lunch Club from Friday noon to 3 at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, located at 132 Royal Street in the French Quarter. Join Gus Cattingill and see why Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Visit our 50 beers on tap and the best poor boys. Gumbo, barbecue shrimp you're going to find around. You got to try it, even their baby back ribs. It's another ESPN New Orleans Lunch Club this Friday, noon to 3 at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Grab a friend and join the fun at 132 Royal Street.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
That's a gentleman, Trey, relinquishing his chair in case Sarah, who's been on her feet all day since we've been here, wanted to have a seat before we talked a little bit about Vinny's.
Jason.
Has Jordan ever offered you his seat?
No, Jordan's no? rude.
Okay, Sarah.
He shakes his cup at me.
You can see her
he
on
says
Thursdays
really rude things.
Here at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Brian, you can attest to this. I mean, Trey, being the gentleman that he is.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm motivated and inspired.
Tell you what I was impressed by. Monday. You were just going about your business, coming to work. Right?
God, I was.
You got an Uber.
Uh-huh. With David.
What happened?
I got in. David confirmed that it was me getting into the Uber. Mm-hmm. And then he realized where we were going and he's like, oh, you're Sarah. And I kind of was a little confused, but then he's like, you're the girl that goes on the radio on Thursdays.
Wow.
And then he confirmed that Jordan here is an idiot because he didn't go on Valentine's Day date with me. So.
Wow.
Let me tell you, there's so much in that I can, for starters, I'm impressed that Sarah got recognized like that.
Yeah.
You're impressed. Hello. Somebody's going to recognize me.
Well, again, I was trying to pat myself on the back, but you take the credit. That's fine. I want to know, has Jordan ever been recognized anywhere?
No, not ever.
Shipley's Donuts.
Shipley's Donuts. No. Shipley's Donuts doesn't work because we promoted that as a remote autograph to come out there.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah, no, I don't know
Mine
about that.
Mine was random, like Monday morning.
I know Brian's been wrecked. I've been around Brian where he's, you're Brian in Ola East. I mean, know that. That's a fact. So.
It's nice.
Have you been wrecked?
Are you really questioning?
Everybody knows who Gus is. Are you kidding me?
Are you really?
He's good.
Question the show host. That's incredible. Look, Uber Eric is here as well. That's the name, Uber Eric. He calls in. So look, the Uber community knows all about Sarah.
Apparently. Come on.
A little happy hour.
3 to 7 mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah, but what days do you double the happy hour?
Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday from 10 to close.
Okay, nice. So those 3 days you get to double the happy hour. Why is happy hour so cool?
Because, I mean, you get $5 appetizers, some $4 drafts, $4 liquors. Some specialty cocktails are in there, too, for $4. Mm-hmm.
What's the old-fashioned one? Pork belly old-fashioned.
Pork belly old-fashioned. Yes. I sold two of those already to this nice gentleman that was sitting right here at this table.
There it is. Nice. Cool. Other than that, let's see. The whiskey flights on Wednesdays.
Uh-huh. 4 1-ounce pours of Russell's 6-year, Russell's 10-year, Long Branch, and Wild Turkey Decades.
Okay. Did you hear that? It's not like this year's one. Like normally, there's a number to it. It's probably more than normal. Right?
Sure, whatever.
Okay, but my point is you can taste that. So thanks for that, Sarah. Appreciate
it. The longer
that.
It's distilled, the better it is.
Okay, yes. And that's what I'm saying. So four pours of a couple of years, ones are pretty good, is what I guess what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, you're if you can go ones. Get some.
Because at Jordan's place, you'd probably get poured like different types of water. Purified water, spring water, dirty water,
I was at a casino bar, and I asked for Crown on the Rocks.
Uh-huh.
This was in Memphis.
Yeah.
And I swear it looked like iced tea. It's not supposed to look like that. It looked like watered down iced tea. Yeah, it was horrible. I come here. I ask for the same drink.
Yeah.
What do you know? Yeah. Real alcohol.
Yeah, imagine that, how it happened. Yeah. That's good. Sarah, I guess we'll just leave with this aspect of it. My wife and I stopped by on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We got experienced DJ
Nasty. DJ Nasty.
That's right.
11 to 3 on Saturday night.
DJ Nasty.
Did you try to take over while he took
the round? He actually left because he didn't want to stay, but it wasn't us. He just wanted his wife wanted to go somewhere else.
Well, we had to make ground.
We had a good crowd in here. You missed out on the big crowd that came in after you left. I guess it was because you left.
Well, maybe it's because I left it.
I think that's what
it was. Well, it was after the parade, too. But again, you know.
Yeah, he had one drink and looked a little woozy.
Okay, I was not. You know, here's the thing. Well. Wow.
And then you tried to chug your wife's wine. Like, what was that?
That's not accurate.
You tried to chug it. I watched you.
I didn't chug it. I finished the last
sip. No. You were, trying to chug it. Like, let's be honest.
What am I getting booed for? You know what? That's all the time we have for Sarah.
Tomorrow for crawfish. We do crawfish tomorrow at 4. Well, between 4 and 5.
Which one is it?
Last week it was closer to 4. It could be closer to 5. Get here, though. And during happy hour tomorrow from 3 to 7,
uh-huh.
We're giving out this guy. We're giving out these raffle tickets again just during happy hour for every alcoholic beverage that you buy.
Okay.
And at the end of happy hour, 8 o'clock, an hour later, you have to stay, though. We're going to pull one of the tickets, and somebody gets a $25 gift card every Friday while we're doing crawfish.
Easy enough. That sounds like a good deal.
So, so you know, I'll be here.
That's reason enough, isn't it?
Right?
That's
okay,
all.
Bye.
Bye. There goes Sarah. Oh.
Like a tornado.
Jordan, like a tornado. Uber Eric, have you finished your lunch? Come on over here before we hit the break. In the next 2 minutes, a frequent caller to the show, Brian, you've heard Uber Eric on before. Put on the headset, my friend. Thank you for stopping by. Pleasure actually finally meeting you. It's nice. And, it's pretty cool that you have us on while you're Ubering because people can request, can you please, has anyone requested, can we shut these guys off a little bit?
No, they actually be into the conversation.
Okay, well, that's good. I love it. So you kind of host your own sports show during your Uber ride.
Yeah, me and you and Uber, man.
I hear you, man. Well, go give us your takes, man, on anything that took place this week. What you want to talk about?
Oh, I'm glad Jason Witten's getting out of Monday Night Football.
See, you say that too. What was the issue? What did you not like about Jason Witten? Because I never listened to a game and was like, my gosh, enough. I hear maybe one as entertaining or something of that nature, but I don't know. What was it that irked you? Well, I wouldn't even say irk, but just kind of maybe you prefer something else.
I think Monday Night Football as a whole has not been the same since Dan, Mike, and Al.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I only watch it when the Saints play on Monday night, to be honest with you. I'm watching Monday Night Raw instead of watching Monday Night Football. But Jason Witten.
It was a really good Monday Night Raw this week. I'm just letting you know. Return of Roman Reigns. We could have gotten into that, yeah.
Yeah, but Jason Witten, he's just not. I don't know. He's just not Tony Romo on the mic.
See, I was waiting for you to do that. I almost set it up. You see what I just did there, Brian? Because my thing is, I think what Tony Romo's been able to do in the short amount of time he has, it almost makes you feel like the color commentary, what is it that you expect out of your color commentary? And what I think what Tony's added is the ability of predicting plays. I mean, the Chiefs driving, famously predicted essentially three or four plays in a row and saw what was happening. I almost think he's made it harder for other color commentaries to do that. But what do you think, Brian, when you think of Tony Romo, what is it that you think that he does differently than other color commentaries?
He's accurate. He gives you the whole purpose of color is to paint the picture when somebody's not there. Tony Romo not only paints the picture, but he's accurate. He'll tell you, on this play, this particular receiver should run a stick route, or he should run this, or the quarterback should be looking for this. And that's exactly what it is that we wanted from Witten. And it's not that you have to predict the plays like Tony Romo does. That's just insane. It's the idea that tell me what happened on the play and let me know why that guy got open. And Witten just can't do it. He can't tell me that the tight end was able to break inside instead of outside because he saw the defender set up with his right hip to a certain direction. Tony Romo does that. Why can't Witten? You played with the guy.
I love that because here's the thing that's interesting, Uber Eric, because I thought John Gruden exudes personality and Grudenisms, but he came across to me like he didn't want to criticize anybody or critique anyone. Everyone was great every week. This guy was the best tight end. This guy's the best quarter. He was almost too enamored with everybody, and he kind of showered more praise than I get. And I'm not saying you need to be a critic or critique, but to Brian's point, if somebody doesn't do a good job covering on man, on a slant, you know, I think it is great if somebody goes, oh, if he turns his hip and he tries to cut that route, I want to feel like I learned something. Like, to me, Steve Stone, growing up, was the color commentary for Cubs baseball. I loved listening to Steve Stone. I learned baseball to him. Hey, kids, when you go ground, you know, field a ground ball, you always want to lead with your left foot if you're a left-hand glove. I mean, like, he said things that I was like, well, I can go try that tonight. Or, you know, in practice today, I didn't think about, you know, don't come across the body, don't cross your feet. Like, he would do that to your point, Brian. So, Eric, I'll ask you this as we go to break. Who would be your top three guys to replace?
Man, if they can muster up enough money to pry Tony Romo away from CBS.
Oh, you want Tony Romo?
I mean, that would bring me back to Monday Night Football, but maybe Gus. What's his name? The guy on Fox, Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson. Well, he does play-by-play, though. So you'd bring him as play-by-play.
I mean, his voice exudes
excitement,
you know.
Yeah.
Also like Charles Davis. I like when he does the games on Fox.
Okay.
Who else? I don't like Chris Collinsworth. Oh, he gets on my nerves.
That's another one a lot of people don't care for either. Uber Eric, it was nice meeting you, man.
Same here, man.
Yeah, man.
Same
thanks
here.
For stopping
thanks
by, having
me.
A little lunch,
no
for
problem.
Sure, man. And as always, feel free to give us a call. Jordan, go ahead and throw that out, dude. Throw that out there. Who would you like to be the color commentary? I know, Trey, you've chimed in as you come back out of the break. You said you liked Booger. Tell me why you like Booger. And Brian, you haven't told me who you liked.
Pastor Ben Watson.
You're going to go with Ben Watson.
Pastor Ben Watson.
Okay. Yeah. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Keep your tax refund in your pocket and get a new home. Zero down programs are available at Homas Clayton Homes. Any income is income. SSI, disability, child support, we take it all. Visit Homas Clayton Homes on Highway 311 or check them out on Facebook. And remember, when you call 985-872-2850, if that old trailer house has got to go. That's Homa's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Homa.
Here's a deal from Sprint that you won't want to miss. Right now, when you switch to Sprint, we'll give you $50 on a prepaid MasterCard for each new phone you lease. The card is issued by MetaBank member FDIC. Just register for the card online and you're good to go. That's right, $50 for each new phone you lease when you bring your number to Sprint. And when you get a new iPhone, you get an incredible new iPad for $99, plus a $100 prepaid MasterCard. Make the switch today, and don't miss all the other great deals you'll find waiting for you on Sizzling Sprint Saturday. Join us March 2nd at your local Sprint store. Cards require 60 days of service before card ships. iPad 6th Gen 32GB, $417 per month after $15 monthly credit for 24 months. Credit applied within two bills. Requires new line on qualifying plan. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Taxes due at sale. Offer not available everywhere, subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Restrictions apply.
DC, very intrigued by the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
The Marty Party is always welcome here, no matter what he's into, what he's doing. Paintballing today in France with the Michigan football team, because of course he did.
You know Harbaugh's great at that, right?
Paintball? For sure. Marty, thank you for being on with us. Is indeed Jim Harbaugh great at paintball?
No.
The Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats coming up next after Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. Charles on Twitter says, Zion is not the number one player. Take away the dunks, there would be no hype. Yet, yes, he is physical and very athletic, but he's not the guy at this point. Give him time to develop, then see where he stands. But Barrett is my pick. He's more polished and has a knack to get to the rim. Breaking news. It looks like Bryce Harper and the Phillies have agreed to a deal. So he's going to go over there to Philadelphia and not the Dodgers or the Giants. Very interesting when it comes to Bryce Harper there. I asked right before the break who would be your choice for Monday Night Football. Brian, you said Pastor Ben Watson. Give me your reason quickly. Then, Trey, give me your reason, and we'll go to Twitter, Dave.
Have you ever heard him speak?
Mm-hmm.
He's an impeccable communicator. I think he knows the game. I think he needs a new role. And I think it would finally shed some light nationally because they know the Saints. They know Drew Brees, but they don't really give, they don't really give good critique when it comes to that. I've heard many of Cowherd types that are kind of just overlook what the Saints do and how great Sean Payton is at the offensive mind. Who could better bring that out than Ben Watson with the way he speaks?
Good point. Trey?
I think they have it already with Booger. I'm not trying to be a simpleton and just, okay, you have somebody here, you promote him up. There's too many times that you watch Monday Night Football and Witten would be stumbling over himself. If you want to know what Witten did wrong, Witten's kind of like Tim Tebow in this sense. What was Tim Tebow's problem as a quarterback? Well, the first thing about playing quarterback is you have to throw the football. Well, the first thing in being a broadcaster is you have to be able to speak. So there's too many times when Witten would stumble over himself and then Booger would come in and say something great afterwards. And you're like, oh, that's what was meant to be said. It's like when your friend is drunk and he says something really stupid to a girl and you have to be like, no, that's not what he meant. What he meant was this. That was Booger's role last year.
Okay.
So give him a shot.
Move him up. Twitter Dave, what you got for us on the Sports Hangover?
Hey, brother. I just wanted to talk to you about Booger. I totally agree. I thought Witten got in the way of Booger and didn't allow him to grow. And if you've given a chance to take over the whole thing, I truly believe he will be far better than what we've had, at least in the last year's product. As far as Zion goes, I'm sure he'll go number one. But if the Pelicans, I'm just putting this out there. If Pelicans had the number one pick, I wouldn't pick him. It's simple as that, and I'm sure Brian don't agree with that. But I was curious on Brian's opinion on just Magic thus far, what he's done as, I guess, his GM, whatever you want to call him. Let's see, who was it? I'm trying to think his name. He was in the news this week, but he had a problem with Levitar Levitar said something about Magic when he first started as GM. And thus far, he wants to trade his whole team, including his number first round pick, that he was rubbing his hands, smiling when he got that guy, and he was ready to throw him out like yesterday's trash. I'm just saying, I just don't believe he's done a very good job at what he's done, and he's trying to compensate with that by getting our guy and giving his trash. That's just the way I feel. I don't know. I did pick up Sarah. And she's a really nice girl. So I just want to put that out there and see what Brian thought of Magic's job. Just Magic since he started. And Gus, keep good workout, brother. I'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it, man. Take care.
I totally agree with you when it comes to Magic. I think he's been mediocre at best. The best thing that he did for the Lakers was probably putting a face and getting rid of the Jim Buss era. I think that's probably his mark on the Lakers right now. Okay, so you land LeBron, but I think he put his foot in his mouth when he said, I'm going to land two stars by X amount of time. Now, could that possibly happen? Yes, he still has an outside chance to do it. But are the Lakers going to be championship contenders anytime soon? That all depends on Golden State. If the Golden State Warriors come back as is, I don't care what Magic Johnson does. He still isn't going to get – he's not going to build a team that can compete with them, especially if Boogie Cousins returns and they figure it all out. Now, as far as Zion Williamson being a number one pick, if he's not, I'm not mad at that. I mean, I understand where you're going with it, that R.J. Barrett right now was a better player. Yes. But I think it depends on where you're going. If you're going to the New York Knicks, R.J. Barrett isn't going to get it. If you're going to the New Orleans Pelicans, or ticket sales-wise, R.J. Barrett isn't going to get it. But as far as the player, yeah, I think R.J. Barrett is a better player. And should he go number one, I'm not mad if he does.
It'll be interesting. I'll say this. I know, Trey, you haven't got a chance to give me your dream team yet. You sent me the picture earlier this morning of your starting five that you would love to see for the Pels next year. Who was it?
The starting five was, I'll have to explain how you get to it, Ja Morant, Drew Holiday, Jason Tatum, Julius Randle, and Jahlil Okafor. And what happens is you do the Boston trade, obviously, and I don't care about Marcus Smart. I don't care about Rozier. I don't care about any of the fillers. Just give me Tatum and all your picks. And this works if we're in 6-8. Right now we are at the 8th spot. We package their picks with our pick. We move up to number 2. We get Ja Morant. And that's what we do. We have to get Horford for salary purposes. I don't care if we buy him out and he goes in ring chase, but I do need a vet, yeah, so we could keep him.
I'm with you. Let's talk a little bit about this at the top of next hour, and then we'll get into the combine chatter. I know you have a ton to get into with this as well, Brian, but I do think with Trey, and he brings up a good point, I think with a lot of the picks that you can get, I think the Pels can get 2 picks in the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah, no question.
Their pick, and then enough for the next one. Hour 3 coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.